Today, I'm going to talk to you about purging out the old leaven. Last week, we ended up on a very important note, and that is to consecrate ourselves. I'm going to read a few verses just to bring that back a little bit. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 5, when they were dedicating the temple, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, this is what the priest did. I'm going to read in verse 5. It says, "And it came to pass, when the priest came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves." All right, so this is what I want you to pay attention here. And as we keep reading, it tells us that they were in one accord and they were making one sound and they were praising God. What were they saying? They say, "For he is good, and for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord fill the whole house." Amen. So here, there's something that happens before the infilling, before the invasion, before the glory is a time of sanctification. In Exodus, we were told the same thing. As God was going to meet them in the third month on Mount Sinai to give them the Ten Commandments, this is what God told Moses. And it says in Exodus 19, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all people." All right, and so then it came to pass on the third day, and Moses, it tells us, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. There, they were there to meet God for the Ten Commandments, but they had to consecrate themselves. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And so we want the fire, we want the glory, we want the invasion of the Spirit, we want God to do wonders. But there is a great call to consecrate, a great call to sanctify ourselves. We talked about sanctifying. It's from the word kadash, which means to be holy, to be clean, all right, to be purified, to be separated, to be set apart, to dedicate ourselves and to present our lives unto God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That which can only be done through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to continue on this idea of consecrating ourselves and how we can practically identify some things that we need to separate ourselves from as we are in this world, but yet not of this world. So in the Feast of Passover, as we mentioned, happening in the first month, we are told that there was no leaven at all, right? They had to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. Why is that? Because that represents Jesus, who was found with no sin, all right? And that's the reason why there's no leaven, no contamination at all right? Then in the Feast of Pentecost, we are told that they had 2 loaves of bread that was leaven. Okay, so why is that? Okay, because that actually speaks of both the Jews and Gentiles coming into the Lord, coming as one new man. But at this time in the kingdom of God, there is mixture. However, it doesn't quite end there, because when Jesus returns, all right, we are told that there's going to be a time of separation. And the Feast of Tabernacles has to do with the second coming. In fact, it's the time that's the part in the book of Revelation that gets realized and gets fulfilled as a church experientially. And so when Jesus comes during the Feast of Tabernacles, there's going to be a separation between the wheat and the tares, between the sheep and the goats, and from the good and the bad fish, and from the just to the unjust, okay? And so what does that say to us? That from now, as we are walking this journey, this pilgrimage, we are to consecrate ourselves, because Jesus is building his church and is coming back for a perfect, spotless, without wrinkle, blameless church that has been presented to him. She has made herself ready for the Lord. So there's a very important call to consecrate ourselves. Can you say amen? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, and he says this, all right, and we're talking about purging out the old leaven because we want to be consecrated unto God. It says, "Your glorifying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, nor with a leaven of malice, wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. All right, let's look at what leaven, what does that actually do? Naturally speaking, what is leaven? Leaven or yeast, when placed in a batch of dough, has the action of fermentation. Leaven puffs up. It works silently, secretly, and gradually until the whole is leaven. Okay, so it doesn't quite come as, it's not that obvious at first, but it permeates through silently and secretly. So let's ask the question, what are those things that are silently, gradually, secretly trying to infiltrate our lives? We want to deal with those because we want to purify ourselves unto the Lord. We want to be pure before God and live righteously because this is the grace of God that has appeared to all men that we be able to do that. Let's look at what Jesus said about leaven in the gospel. It says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, it says this. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In verse 12, as they started talking, because now they started to talk about bread and they were trying to wonder, what was Jesus talking about bread? Is it because we didn't take bread? And this is what Jesus said to them. Then they understood, well, this is what they realized, that Jesus did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Okay, let's look at one more verse here in Mark chapter 8, verse 15. It says, then he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. There are a few more verses on leaven, but I think that's sufficient for us to look at the five different types of leaven. Okay, there are five leavens. There's the leaven of the Pharisees, number one. Number two, the leaven of found in Galatia, in the church in Galatia. There's number three, the leaven of the Sadducees. Number four, the leaven of Herod. And number five, the leaven of Corinth. It's found in the church in Corinthians there. So let's look at each one of them and let's identify some of the things that we need to separate ourselves from. Number one, the leaven of the Pharisees. What is that? The leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. They said a lot of things, the Bible said, but they said so many things that they would not even flick one finger to even do it. So what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is to say something that you have no intention of keeping it. Okay, it's not that I say something and I fail because, you know, I've missed something and was not able to fulfill something. But if I say something and I preach and I teach something and I myself do not have the intention to keep that very word, that makes me a hypocrite. Okay, the Pharisee had a form of godliness. They looked good. They fasted. They did everything that externally made them look good, but internally they were unclean. The outside of the cups looks great, but the inside is what matters to Jesus. All right, so you have an aspect of external, to externally look good. Okay, we tick the boxes. We go to church. We go for the services. We do the right thing. Read a Bible in the morning. We have a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. It's a two-face. We can have a two-face. I can live this when I'm in the world, and I live like this when I come to church. At home, I have a different life. When I come to church, I'm happy, I look good, and I look spiritual, all right? So living a double life, hypocrisy. The first leaven is hypocrisy. We need to separate ourselves from the leaven of the Pharisees. Can you say amen? And how does that come? It comes when we have the sincerity of truth in our hearts, when we're sincere and truthful. For the Bible tells us to love the brethren with sincere love. Can you say amen? See, a lot of times when we meet people, you know, you say, oh, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, can you please help me with this? Can you help me with that? And sometimes the response we get is something like this. Wait, I'll think about it and I'll get back to you. And you know, a lot of times what I found is when people actually say that, they actually have no intention of coming. They just don't want to say no straight up. They just say, I'll think about it and I'll get back to you. That's no, but I'm giving myself time, pretending as if I might be interested to help, but really I'm not. But I'm just saying that so it doesn't look so bad, you know, kind of thing. You know, if it's, you know, and that's the thing, you know, sometimes we are not very sincere with our response or the way we say things and what we say. We can come with a smile, but is the smile sincere? We can look spiritual, but is it only externally or internally? All right, so the leaven of the Pharisees. Number two, leaven of Galatia. All right, so it ties in with the first one here. That's legalism. Okay, in Galatians chapter 5, we have it's talking about the issue of circumcision. Okay, so the problem here is that they were trying to keep the law of Moses at the same time Jesus, and you can't have the two together because Jesus comes to fulfill everything. So they were wrestling with going back to the old. So the problem with the leaven of Galatia, this legalism spirit, is that there's a sense of self-righteousness. You know, we look to the old. You know, we're like the old. We always look back to, oh, but we have Moses. You see, the issue when Jesus came on the scene, all they kept saying is, but we have Moses. Moses said this. Or they say, we have Abraham as our father. You know, but that doesn't matter. Jesus said, so what if you have Abraham as your father? All right, that doesn't make any difference. You must be born again. Okay, so you can't say, well, I'm born in a Christian family. Well, that doesn't mean anything either. All right, anyway, so but here, all right, that's not going to save us. We cannot depend on those things. All right, but so when the spirit of legalism is operating, you know, we can't seem to, we like the old. We're comfortable with the old. We don't want to move into the new. We're unable to see the new in the old that's been concealed in the old. We're satisfied and bound with tradition and religion. We're happy with that. We're okay with that. We're content. As long as we get to do our religious things and it keeps us happy, we're happy with that. We've gone to church, we've done the service, I feel spiritual. I mean, I came from the Catholic background where I know that, you know, if I didn't fulfill my Sunday quota, I just didn't feel right. So I don't know if you want to call, so I didn't like to miss church. It looks spiritual, doesn't it? Wow. But really, it just would make me feel terrible, miserable, just because I didn't, you know, God may not be happy if I didn't make it to church this Sunday. You know what I'm saying? That's how I felt. But here, are we just satisfied with tradition and religion, or do we want the real stuff? Legalism causes us to be rigid and stiff and reject when God moves. There's no liberty. There's no freedom. You know, there's no freedom of lifting up of our hands. There's no freedom of shouting. There's no freedom of joy. There's no freedom of, you know, just being free in the spirit to express and to love Jesus. We need to be flexible in the spirit, but we're going to look at the cautious of the other extreme in just a moment, okay? Now, let's move to the next one here. Well, before I do that, well, let me read a verse here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. It says this: are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You see, the problem with legalism is that we can come into a place where we are depending on our own strength rather than the grace of God. And most of us would say, of course, we would never do that. I'm saved by grace through faith. That is who I am. I know that. I know that. You know that. And I know that. You know that. Back and so forth. You know, I know that you know that, you know that I know. But that's not the point. The point is, how many times have we failed? When I look at my own life, now I look back and say, wow, if I could do certain things differently, would I do it? Yes, because I recognize how much flesh was actually involved in how I was trying to achieve to do something that's quite noble, something really good, something that, you know, that's really good. But it was my own strength. That's why when we say, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, that is, you know, we've said it so many times, but really, what are we depending? What are we relying on? Okay, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this: I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Amen. All right. So this is what we need to know, that God has given us the power to live it out and not to be trying to do it with the flesh, because we can always try so much for a little while, but then it will always fail. We need to walk in the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Word and the Spirit must come together. We cannot separate the two. Otherwise, what we're left with is dead religion, dry word. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Can you say amen? Excuse me. Number three, let's talk about the leaven of the Sadducees. And that speaks of modernism, all right? So what does that mean? So the Sadducees, you see, oftentimes we talk about the Pharisees in scriptures, but there was another group called the Sadducees. And a lot of people say they were sad, you see, all right? But here, what were they about? They were, let me maybe give a bit of a background here. So there was a time in Israel when they were, the Greeks, you know, were under the power, that had taken over. And so, and they were Hellenizing. That means they were changing, trying to convert everybody to be Greek, all right, in every form, in their culture and the way of living and everything. And so you had a group of people that said, no, we will not compromise. And there was another group of people who say, let's compromise so at least we can keep our skin on our bodies. You know, we can have a place of power. We can still remain, you know, we can still have all the benefits, all right, if we can compromise. Okay, so then from that, you can see there were two streams, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So the Sadducees, they were interested in position, power, and prosperity. In fact, there was something called the Sanhedrin, where that was the ruling of the religious order in Israel, and it was made up of 70 men, and the majority was actually Sadducees. So they're appointed based on your wealth, your position, your line, and all this kind of stuff, okay? There was a lot of compromise going on. Why? You want to have a position of power. This spirit here is one that, you know, you want to be seen, you want to be recognized, you want to stay relevant, modernism, you want to stay relevant at the expense of compromise, okay? See, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection, so their doctrine somewhere along the line became a bit, became distorted. Okay, so there's a, we've got to be careful here. We're trying to be modern. We're trying to get all these things. We're going to, you know, like, for example, technology is great, but we must be careful not to allow all kinds of things, whether it's social media, it can be used for the gospel, but it can do the exact opposite, because we are putting that as an overemphasis over what God is doing. And when we do that, we start deviating from our purpose. All right. So there's something that the Bible says, beware of the doctrine of demons. You see, we got to beware. Look at what's happening. Sometimes we don't realize it. But when we look at political propaganda, there are so many things out there that's being pushed on us in different ways. Whether you watch television or whatever we watch that's out there in the media, they put seed thoughts like leaven to allow it to silently try to permeate. And now we can see all around the world, things that look to be frowned upon are now, you know, embraced. You know, whether it's to do with gender, whether it's to do with marriage, and all kinds of distortion that has happened along the way. Now you can see the effect of leaven having expanded. And that also, if we are not careful, starts to shape our ideologies, trying to shape the way we think and the way we take action, the way we talk. So we have to be very careful of the leaven of the Sadducees, modernism. Okay, at the expense, compromise, position of power. You want to be known, you want to be seen. When we do something, we want to let everyone know what we've done. So push it on your social media, make yourself look good. This is your resume, you're applying for a job. Make sure everyone, get the likes, as many likes as you can, as many comments as you can. Let everybody know what you're doing every day, every single time of the day. So there's a spirit there that we have to be very careful. I'm not saying don't use social media, but can social media become an aspect of our lives that takes us away from God? Do we need to consecrate and separate ourselves from some of those things? All right, the Holy Spirit alone will know what needs to take place in our lives today. Amen? Let's look at the fourth one. It's related to the third one. It's the leaven of Herod. Okay, it's to do with worldliness. Herod also, like the Sadducees, he was content as long as he could be king, as long as he could have power, compromise, submit to Rome, but I have power, I can rule. He was happy with that. He also compromised, okay? So he turned to what the world has to offer to him, and he's happy with that. And we're told in Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham set his nephew free, then the kings of Sodom came to him. He says, look, give us the people, we'll give you the goods. You see, the world, Sodom and all, the world wants to take us, make us bound, capture us, and then give us goods, give us money, give us a good job, give us a good title, give us a house, give us a future. You know what I'm saying? So we have that, but what do they have in exchange? They have our soul in exchange. That's the spirit of worldliness, okay? There's no standard of God. Herod, what did he do? He compromised. He had his brother's wife, right? And that's why John the Baptist, he scolded him, he rebuked him, and as a result, he got arrested for that, you know? But compromise. The Bible also tells us that Herod had the fear of man over the fear of God. He didn't want to kill John the Baptist straight away because he feared of the people because they considered him a prophet. But at the same time, Herodias was like, get his head, chop his head off. There was compromise, okay? Fear of man over the fear of God. What about the church? Do we influence the church or does the world church influence the world or is the world influencing the church? That's the question we got to ask ourselves. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we seek that the world says they can offer, even though they can offer to a certain degree, but it will never last. Seek first the kingdom of God because God knows what we need. Amen. The last one here is number 5, the leaven of Corinth. It's to do with carnality. See, we started up and we opened that. It says, purge out the old leaven of wickedness, of sin, of lust of the flesh. The problem that Paul was dealing with the church was immorality, sexual immorality. And in fact, he was saying, the sin that you do in here is far worse than even that spoken out in the world. Okay, and so here we have the life of the flesh, the life of sin, envy, strife, malice, wickedness. It's the unrenewed mind. Okay, so you and I know what are those things in our lives? Are we still living in according to the old ways? Maybe certain bad habits that we had before we were born again. Are we still bound to those things? Are we still giving up to those things? Those little bad habits that we have or anything or sin that you know, you and I may know that we need to deal with. These are the leaven. This is the carnality, the unrenewed mind, the life of the flesh. The Bible says live in the spirit. So how do we deal with that? We must renew our minds, okay? Where there's strife and contention, divisions and all these kind of things, all right? These are all leaven. Why are we talking about divisions happening all around, whether it's within or without the church, all right? Put out the old leaven. Can you say amen, all right? So now I've said enough on what the leavens, the different types of leaven and what it could look like. Now, of course, I could not have possibly mentioned all the different aspects that could cover. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit right now to speak to us as to what those different types of leaven, how does that apply to me on a personal level? Because you see, if we want something to happen to the nations of the world, it begins with you and me. So I don't want you to say, well, you know, that's not me. No, I don't have all these things. I'm not a hypocrite. Oh, I don't compromise. I'm not seeking the world. You see, and that's why I say, let the Holy Spirit really deal with us today, because you see, the Bible tells us that what happens in the scripture, they are as for examples for us. We are to learn from their examples. So if we're reading all the mistakes that they did in the Bible and we say, oh, that's them, that's not me. Well, you know, and oftentimes, how many times can we say, oh, why did the Israelites, why did they rebel against God? Even after they've seen so many miracles and the Red Sea open, I can't believe it. So easy said, because we probably would be even worse if we were in their day and in their time. It is the mercy of God that we're standing here today, saved by the grace of God. So it's very easy to point the finger and say, oh, why did they do this? That's because we would probably done worse or even at least the same. And so what they've gone through, we must learn what to do. There are certain good things and what to do, and there are things that we must learn what not to do. Don't say none of these apply to me. When you look at, when you move into a new house, and you look at your lawn, or you've got, look a nice piece of lawn, it looks perfect, it looks great, it looks amazing, right? Okay, but the thing is, it does not, it doesn't mean that there's nothing in there. You see, in the ground, there are seed, the winds, the birds, and all these kind of things. There are different kinds of seed in there that you can't see with the eye, right? But it's there. So the grass looks good, but until the right environment triggers it, rain, a bit of sunlight, and water, and all these kind of things come up, the weeds, which doesn't take much, it will begin to come out. So you may look at your life and say, oh, I look pretty good. I mean, you know, I have nothing wrong with me, you know, but sometimes there are seeds that are there. All right? And it only takes something, a situation, a conversation, someone speaking a word or an encounter that triggers something and it explodes. But what I'm saying here is let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts right now. Get yourself out. Cleanse ourselves. Separate ourselves from the world. There's a time of consecration. See, in the Bible, I'm going to leave you with this, Neil. There's the Bible, in the Old Testament, we are told that the people oftentimes consecrated themselves through fasting. So I'm going to encourage you this time, even though I'm not talking about fasting specifically today, but I'm saying, you know, sometimes we're struggling with certain things, maybe a sin or some issues that we're struggling with and we can't get out. Or there are certain leavens that we know we got to get rid of, we can't get out of it. I would encourage you, seek God in a time of fasting. You see, we often talk about the invasion of the Holy Spirit. We talked about it last week on the day of Pentecost, the fire of God. We want that. But it takes consecration. God wants us to be holy and acceptable before Him. And let me say this. We want revival. I want revival. You want revival. We want to see revival break out. But we need three things. There are three ingredients which I believe are key for us. The first thing is we need to repent. We need to. There's a call to repentance. In fact, as we move from Pentecost to Tabernacles, one of the things that we're going to be talking about close to that time, if the Holy Spirit leads us there, is the Day of Atonement, a day of repentance. And they were to do that with fasting. Okay, so here, first thing is repentance. Number two, fasting. And number three, praying. I believe that if we can do that, if we can really press into this three dimension, we're going to see something break open. You know, we're going to come out from the life of the flesh. We're going to separate ourselves. We are in the world, not of the world. Daniel was in Babylon, but he was not of Babylon. Daniel fasted. He was a man of prayer. He separated himself. I mean, he was praying. He was repenting for his nation. I mean, Daniel is a classic example for us to look after. So I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts. Even as we are watching this, the Holy Spirit is very present, very powerfully working and operating. He's writing His law, not on the tablets of stone or the tablets of our hearts. I believe that right now there is a grace to take action with what God is saying. Those things that we're hearing is not just another message. I believe that if we would really take heed and move on it, something is going to break free in our lives. So I speak that right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And if you're hearing this message and you know you need to be separated from sin and you haven't done that, you can call upon the name of Jesus. Turn away from sin. Receive Him as your personal and say, make this sincere prayer and you shall be saved and He will set you free from bondage, sickness, and disease. God bless you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.